It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back, Cracked fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. It's going to be one of those weeks here on this show where we have a plethora of college tennis content coming your way. In fact, with the NCAA round of 16 looming this weekend, we figured it was time to bring back one of our favorite bits here on this podcast. It's time for us to roll out our 2024 NCAA press row. Over the course of the next 4 days, I will do my best to interview each of the remaining head coaches for our 32 men's and women's teams still alive in the Division I NCAA tennis tournament. I will try my best also to ask each coach the same series of questions. Things like, what were the highlights of your 2024 season? What were the biggest surprises throughout the course of the year? What is the advice you would give yourself if you could go back to January and do so? And then, of course, we get into things like trivia, non-team-specific storylines, and so much more. I promise all of you will enjoy this exercise, and I sincerely hope this will help prepare all of you for this weekend's upcoming NCAA action. Of course, those round of 16 matches are going to be available on our Crack Rackets YouTube channel. Our coverage starts Friday, so hopefully this will again prepare all of you for that action. Hopefully you listeners will be inspired by what you hear and come tune into our coverage of postseason play. With that said, it's time for our 2024 NCAA press row. Westhoff, let's get to it. The man that sings tries it. The amazing Mr. Please, Please, Please himself. Joining us on the podcast once again today to help prep all of us for this weekend's NCAA Sweet 16 action is a man whose team reached the Sweet 16 with a 4-0 victory over Michigan State, of course. It's the second straight season, we will see them compete in the men's round of 16. Welcome back onto the show, the head coach who helps steer the ship behind the scenes, of course. It's Harvard men's tennis head coach Andrew Rube. Coach, welcome back to the program. Congratulations, first of all, to you and the guys. I certainly appreciated the shout-out video after the match. How are you doing the day after?
We're feeling great. I mean, it was a great day for college tennis. I mean, there were like 600 fans. They didn't have enough seats for the doubles, and it was packed. And people came out in droves to watch what was a great match, and see us really sort of firing on all cylinders. I think it's we've sort of spent April a little bit banged up and sort of trying to get back on our, with guns blazing, and did it and probably played one of our better matches of the season. So it was a, to do it in that setting at that moment, with the pressure on, was really encouraging. And I think, we always talk about playing our best tennis in May, and we certainly are. And that's, for a coach, you can't ask for much more than that. Guys have been improving, since we got started in September, and that's coming to fruition.
Yeah, and that Michigan State match in particular, it felt like the execution was crisp everywhere, in singles in particular. But you talk about having 600 fans there. I mean, what a moment for your program. What a moment for this team. Were there some nerves coming out in the doubles point? Because obviously that was tightly contested. Obviously, credit to Michigan State. They're a very good team in doubles. But what was it like to have that sort of atmosphere? And what does that say about the excitement this team seems to have generated?
Well, actually, we've actually had unbelievable crowds, this season playing at home. I mean, we went 15-0 at home, so we like playing at home. And we've developed wonderful relationships with our community and different nonprofits. There's lots of high school tennis players that come out, junior players, as well as local clubs in the area that we've developed relationships with. And so our alums and even our faculty and students have been coming out. I mean, I think our team's fun to watch. They're classy. They're easy to root for. And, you know, so I think it was sort of, I think the Ivy season is always a little more nerve wracking. You know, it's always like, you know, when you play your local rival, I'm sure, you know, growing up, you know, versus getting a chance to play on the national stage and you know, really sort of go for it. I felt the doubles was insanely contested. I mean, we could say five match points, I think, at number one doubles with Cooper and Danny sort of pulling a Houdini out. The quality was good. I mean, that one team they played before, they played at All Americans, and it was also a tiebreaker. So, you know, it could go either way. And we got, you know, we got that one. But, you know, the singles is where we started, you know, putting the pressure on and started rolling. But, yeah, very happy with that. I think that, you know, it was just, you know, once you got that doubles point and, you know, I think the guys took off.
Yeah, that doubles point, looking at the statistics from your season, and this is a remarkable number, so credit to you. Maybe this is just a Harvard thing. You guys want all the data points possible, but you played 19 different combinations at the 2 and 3 spots, which, again, applause from me to you. I appreciate that, certainly. Has that just been you searching for pairings? Has that been trying to get everyone reps? Because, again, I think you've played 7 guys at the 6 singles spots as well. Like, right. I know you have a lot of guys you want to play on your roster. How much is that getting everyone reps versus, hey, we're still searching for the right answer, and where do you feel you are now within this postseason run?
Well, right. I mean, you know, we played at National Indoors. Our 3 dubs team was the lockdown. It was David Linz and Henry von der Schulenburg. They won all 3 matches, and we were raring to go. Henry, you know, got a little injured, and so he's been out of doubles. And then, you know, so sometimes it's just who can play which side, right? And so it's a little bit of a puzzle. You know, we different matches, we do want guys to get a chance and reps to play. And certainly the emergence of Melchior Deloy and doubles at number 2, he's really just taken on that role and run with it. We always knew that he was going to be a good doubles player. It was just sort of a matter of opportunity and time. And yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, right, to be changing that much, but it does say a lot. I think we've developed a lot of doubles skills, you know, in terms of, and then it's like being a good basketball player. You pair them up and they learn how to communicate together and know where to be. No, but not ideal. No, you don't usually want to have that many. Yeah. I didn't know it was that many.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, you're just working all the permutations. That's half the fun. Right. Do you feel like you guys are now at a point, though, where you're, I mean, again, to take doubles off Michigan State, you feeling pretty comfortable with that point now?
Yeah, I do. I feel like this is, we've got, you know, 3 teams, you know, that got some experience together. They've been bloodied and you know, they know what to do. And they work well together. That's the other thing too. Doubles is chemistry, yeah. And you know, doubles teams also get hot. It is like one of those things. You 3-4 matches, and I think they're peaking at the right time.
Yeah. On this day in singles, you go Rohan Masato at those 5 and 6 spots. Obviously, you mentioned Melchior earlier. He's had a pretty solid season across the board, yeah, as well. For those guys to, I know, I think Rohan didn't finish, but he was up a set and a break. Obviously, yep. Masato able to get the victory.
Yep.
We'll talk about the top 4 in a second, but how are you feeling about those 5 and 6 spots? As we know, that's where NCAA tournament runs are made.
No, absolutely. And then, you know, that I think that we our percentages there haven't been, you know, what we've liked throughout part of the year. And now we're sort of hitting our stride. I think it's really, you know, come to fruition, all the work everyone's putting in. Certainly Melchior has carried a ton of the load. It was unbelievable indoors. And then adding Rohan and Masa, who are also locked in and playing well. And it gives us some options now. And I feel like all 3 of them, you know, can compete and win at those spots. And you know, in some ways, you know, like some of those sophomores, so Pereira, Masa Pereira and Melchior Deloy, I mean, they didn't play much their first year. So they're kind of like freshmen in terms of their experience level. You know, Rohan coming in, was a little bit injured in the fall, but has a very high level, had an unbelievable summer this past year with lots of good wins in the futures. And so it's, you know, it takes time to get your footing in your, you know, that first sort of year of competition. And college tennis is just so different, as you know, than juniors. So, you know, you got to give some time and allow people to sort of, you know, learn and make some mistakes. And they're, you know, they're hitting their stride and they've got it going.
You guys have Kentucky coming up this weekend. I'm sure you've been looking at the stats and maybe you delegate this to Sonam. You say, hey, you watch the film. Come on, I got other things to do. But actually, knowing you, you're definitely watching the film as well. You know how good they are at 5-6. I think Stevenson's lost once this year, Jack maybe twice. Do you know who you're playing? I'm talking to you Monday, May 6th, so our listeners know. Or will that be, hey, let's watch the film a little bit more and see how the matchups line up, because we have some options.
That's true. I mean, that is one option of really having some depth down there. Certainly, Valdemar Pape is another one who's played for us. And, you know,
was great at the indoors.
Clincher there. So, you know, we have players that can come in and do that. I think you do want to find out, you know, who matches up well, who plays well, and, you know, what conditions, indoor, outdoor. You know, we'll look at all of that. I mean, we have played Kentucky already, so there's not as much surprise or tape watching probably as normal, because we've just seen him in person. We played him indoors, so that is different. I think it's going to be a different match. And we'll assess all of that this week, as we, you know, see how healthy everybody is as well as we get back into it, you know, today.
Yeah, no, looking forward to, again, seeing those matchups. Well, let's talk about your top four now, because obviously we knew going into the year what those guys would be capable of. I want to start with Daniel, because he's obviously been pretty consistent, right? Winning 2/3 of his matches or more those first 2 years. But, you know, he goes 17-6 this year, 12-4 at that 3 spot. Obviously, you guys played everyone. You mentioned it, matchups with Kentucky, National Indoors, all these different matches that you tried to put your guys in tough situations to prepare them for a postseason run like this. But, you know, again, that sort of consistency, what has allowed him to take his game to the next level this season?
Well, I mean, if you've seen Danny play, I mean, you know, he's big. He's got a great serve. He's got a heavy ball. You know, it's that it's so heavy that, you know, he just sort of knocks people back and gains court position, and then he can finish. You know, he can volley. And when he's patient and he puts those pieces together, he's very tough to beat. And, you know, really has been the, you know, I don't know, in terms of winning percentage, probably their best spot on the squad. And so, you know, that's huge. I mean, you sort of need, you know, people that are, you could sort of bank on, and it gives a lot of confidence to his teammates, certainly. But Danny's worked a lot. I think it's also on discipline, right? Mm-hmm. On shot discipline. And that takes time, because he's a big player. He hits big. There's a lot of winners. So it's flashy. But I think just, you know, being a little more lunch pail guy, and being willing to stick it out and make a few extra balls, because, you know, he can always wait, because, you know, he's going to get a short ball and he's going to hurt you, and he doesn't have to rush. And I think that's that patience, you know, is it takes time, and he's had to learn that, and, you know, and he really leaned into his fitness, and those have been the reasons that, you know, that it's the synergies happen.
You mentioned the patience. I feel like there is a huge fitness component to that. Like, I just feel like he's able to last in these rallies longer and wait for that short ball more efficiently this season.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a big boy. I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. He's a big guy. Like, it's impressive to see him get out of those corners.
Yeah, no, and he's very athletic. And so I think that's you know, it's a rare combination. And I think that's, you know, credit to him. He, you know, he's very good in the gym, and, you know, he's done a lot of work with our, you know, strength and conditioning consultant, Jez Green. And, you know, he's really put together an unbelievable program for someone like Danny, which has got a unique body. It's just different. And so, you know, being able to do that, and, you know, I think he's given a lot of confidence.
Second straight round of 16 for you guys. Do you change, because you had those 2 weeks between last match of Ivy League play and start of the NCAA tournament. And don't worry, I won't ask you, do you guys need an Ivy League conference tournament? Because I know the answer is yes. Nothing you can say can change my mind. And I imagine you're on my side as well. Coach Rube's making a face to say, yeah, I agree. But I'm just curious, did you change how you approach your 2 weeks heading into this offseason, knowing, you know, what you learned from last year?
Well, I mean, not really. I mean, we like having a little time there. I'm not going to argue with that. I think a lot of guys got healthy and got rested up, and you can clean up a few things in the game and sort of get a reset. I actually feel like it's, and we also, you know, started sort of our exam period, and so you can sort of front load some of your work. And so actually works really well for us. I think we were just fresher this weekend, certainly, you know, and that's, Yeah, that scheduling actually, we like it. And it worked well for us last year. We hosted, you know, we had tough matches. We beat a great Arizona State team. And that was, I think it, you know, you just need a reset sometimes. You know, you just go, I mean, gosh, how many weeks in a row can you play? I mean, you know, no pro schedule would have this many weeks in a row. Think about the season for the ACC or whatever, you know, or SEC coming up. You know, you could be playing, I don't know, 10 weekends in a row or more. So college tennis, you do need to throw in a little break. I think it's just good for the head, and that was really helpful for us.
Yeah. Well, then I guess I will ask you, should there be a conference tournament for the Ivy League? Should we just move the ECAC to the last week of April?
But that's a great question. We have lots of discussions on this, but the ECAC is great because it does count as our conference tournament, and it's also eight teams get in, right? Yeah. If they did an Ivy League tournament, it would only be four. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, given how many teams are ranked, I mean, it was really unbelievable. You know, Princeton got upset by VCU, but we, you know, last year we, I think we had four first round winners in the Ivies, and this year we had three, and you know, two going on to the round of 16. I mean, this is, you know, it's a great league to play in. And so you do want to battle against those teams because it's going to help you in the rankings and it's going to get you prepared.
Yeah, I wanted to see it because I was sweating your ranking out down the home stretch with no conference tournaments. And again, with teams you mentioned, Cornell, Princeton were top 35 all season long. Like the Penn was top 75 all season long. Yale was solid this year. Like there's enough teams there. It was really on the women's side where it's like Dartmouth, Yale, all these different teams were on the bubble, and boy, would they have loved it. Anyways, I do imagine though, having a 2-week training block, you mentioned it, like that never happens in the calendar. It must have been nice to reset things with the guys.
Yeah, I mean, it was really just one weekend off.
Yeah,
so it was not like, I mean, you know, you're using that first week where you can go back and, you know, do some of the stamina work and get some good lifts in and get your body right and go back over some things. And then, you know, the next week you're back competing. But yeah, I think, you know, I think you talk to all coaches this time of year, how do you keep it fresh? How do you keep guys engaged and, you know, keep it fun? Because, you know, we've been training for a long time. And so, you know, a little break here, I thought it's helpful.
Yeah, I'm sure, again, even the coaches enjoyed that weekend off. All right, next question for you. Highlights of the season. I have nominees that I'm going to offer for every coach as I look back on their year. Do you want to hear my list?
Great. Yeah, I'd love it.
All right. Second straight Sweet 16, which I think you guys hadn't made it since 2004, before last year, some sort of distance about that length. So, again, has to feel good. Third straight Ivy League title, again, has to feel good, and maybe there's something in the contract that makes you feel even better. Beating Columbia during the national indoors in New York, I mean, come on now, it speaks for itself. Or, and this is number one in my clubhouse, and I'm really sad that this clip never made it onto social media, or if it did, it didn't get the credit it deserved. Here's the moment when the Harvard 2024 season came together. Whisper Challenge. We're upstairs in the Milstein Family Tennis Center. Sonam is mouthing the phrase to Coach Andrew Rube, Howard Endelman is a better coach than me. Coach Rube figures out that's the sentence and immediately goes, I'm not saying that. And the whole team goes, yes! And erupts in just unity. And I don't think I get enough credit for what I did for your team this season. So, of course, I think I'm the highlight of the year, Coach.
Right. You set me up. Yeah, that was, I didn't know what was coming at me here, but listen, the National Indoors was certainly a great moment. I mean, playing that Columbia match with the unbelievable, you know, we had to play them twice at their place. And so that's always a challenge. And, you know, like both matches, you just flip the coin and, you know, we got that one and certainly a good moment for us. I mean, I thought that was one of the better matches we played up and down, you know, all six. You know, they had a match point to win the doubles point, you know, could have gone, you know, and then we played them at their place. We had a couple match points to win the doubles point. So, you know, geez, with two good teams, it's a coin flip. Yeah. But certainly a great moment. And we did have some laughs. I don't know. I don't know if you were trying to incite something, but
I was trying to incite a bonding moment for you. Like, you couldn't have reacted better. Let the moment show. Like, you were the real winner because that's exactly what I was hoping to get out of you.
Well, I mean, I've never played this game. Supposedly, I came off okay, which was I was glad about. Actually, I think Sunim deserves a lot of credit because he was actually unbelievably good at mouthing those words because, you know, you got your earphones on. You can't hear what they're saying. Yeah. And so, you know, he was very I don't know. He did a great job.
Yeah, it's a good team ship. What was the highlight? Was it the indoors? Was it the Columbia match, Sweet 16?
Well, I mean, all of it. I mean, you know, winning the kickoff at our place and beating UCLA for the first time in program history. Sure. Big moment. You know, we had an unbelievable crowd for that. Certainly, you know, we had some other moments where, you know, we were down match points to Santa Barbara this year. We had some guys out of the lineup. We had a couple of guys out. And I think our one and two players didn't play, and we saved match points to win. I mean, you know, you look at key moments of the year. You know, Rohan Morali saved, I think it's 3 match points. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, you know, think about how college tennis is too. We know that how precarious it all is. So, you know, those are sort of under the radar moments. And then, you know, of course, the big ones like, you know, winning your you know, making it to the Sweet 16 and so forth. So all those were certainly high moments, and there's lots to look back on and be excited about, and you know, there's obviously more to go.
Absolutely. What's been the most unexpected development of this 2024 season?
Well, I think you mentioned it. I mean, I don't think we were predicting we'd have, I don't know, 16 different doubles lineups or whatever it is, sure. And, you know, 9 different people playing at the back of the lineup. And you know, again, I'm not exactly sure on the numbers, but it's been, you know, there's been a lot of turnover, a lot of change, and it's given so many people opportunities that we're going to bank on. And it's going to make us a better team next year, no doubt. You know, I think we've had some injuries to top players at key times. Those are things that, you know, there is a difference if your 6th player gets hurt versus your 1 player or your 2 players. So that's a challenge. You know, everybody's sort of, you know, gotten fought through it and been really good in rehab and getting themselves in a good position.
Is that a burden or a blessing to you to have all of these guys? It's like, hey, you can all play, but then you and Sanam are thinking there, oh man, who are we going to play today?
Well, I mean, it's a challenge, but it's very motivating. I think everyone stays, they know it's competitive. And so, like, I got to keep my game up. And you know, there's a great, you know, great motivator for the team is, you know, and a coach is a deep bench. You know, that's a friend of a coach because people, you know, are going to stay on it and they know they got to keep developing as long as you can stay together as a team and be supportive. But I think they have.
Is it different than it was? I mean, not to say that the teams weren't this competitive 5-10 years ago, but has the environment at practice, like you mentioned, how competitive these guys have to be, has it changed?
Well, I think that I think expectations are higher, certainly. Sure. I think the level's gone up, and they get to see a higher quality ball in practice. So when you play somebody else and you've been playing against Cooper and Henry, you know, and Danny, you're like, I've seen this before. Yeah. And so that's a big help. Mm-hmm. So for those on that front, you know, that certainly helped our program. And I think, you know, having a competitive program and a deep roster is really good. It's probably more time for us as coaches because you're dividing yourself, but it's worth it. And it's, you know, it also means you're stockpiled for the future.
Yeah, no. All right. Well, in that spirit of coaching, I'm curious because, look, I know you've got a bunch of different guys on your team. You're working on all these different things and you get asked a bunch of different questions all year long. What's one coaching, I'll call it a pet project you've had, or just something that maybe you haven't had the chance to talk about publicly, but something you've been working on, whether it's with the team, whether it's with a guy specifically on the court, off the court, something you've been really pleased with the development of this year?
Well, I mean, we worked a lot on footwork patterns and, you know, medicine ball work and some resistance harness work. We're working on our movement. And I think that, you know, tennis is a movement sport. The best movers are the best players, clearly. And so we spend a lot of time on that. I would say that's been a great investment for us. And we've really just been completely taught by Jez Green, you know, who's now with Sebastian Korda, and he was with Murray and Zarev, and he's sort of given us the blueprint for how to help people move better, stop better, work your, get the right kind of training for tennis so that, you can play better out of the corners. You're more explosive up to short balls. I mean, all of that is a worthwhile investment, certainly. And then we do a lot of work coming forward. I do feel like still, if two players both are consistent and one player can finish at the net, you've made a difference. That's a difference maker.
Yeah, I love to hear that. Have those footwork drills helped your game at this stage of your career?
No. No. My golf game is improving, though, but my tennis game, I can maybe I'll volley from the net or whatever, play half court, but those days are long gone. So, Sonnen will still get out there. Juan still get out there and hit some, but less so for me.
Sonnen's first up, last to go on those footwork drills, I can imagine. If you could go back to January, Coach Rube, what advice, might you give yourself?
Well, I mean, I think probably what most coaches give themselves every year is be patient, be process oriented and keep working on development. I mean, that just pays you back, right? I mean, it's hard not to get into the results and, it's a yo-yo. It's like being in the stock market, this week we're playing great, this week you're not, this person's playing well. The levels bounce up and down. And how do you learn to level it out? I think that's really, if we focus on that, and the goal is playing your best tennis in May when you want to do your most damage. That's your through line. That's what kind of from all the fog of the matches and things, it just, burns right through. And that's gotta be the focus. Otherwise I think you could just, as coaches, we go a little nuts. So it's how do you stay on that developmental process and helping everybody get better?
I love it. My next question for you, and again, the premise here is important because I refuse to let any of you coaches cop out. Under the assumption that you're fine with anyone, like I know you are, you've been working hard all season, you're going to ride with any of your players, as you should, as the head coach. But it's 3-all, third set to decide your NCAA match. This is the player in your heart of hearts that you say, you know what, win or lose, this is how we go down. Who do you want on court, Coach?
Alex, this sounds like a kid, the coach, like asking a parent what's their favorite kid is.
No, the answer, but it's the assumption is I'm fine with any of them. But it's like, you know what? This season, if it's our senior Ronan, that's how we're going down. Or you know what? In this sort of year, if it's Malofsky on court, that's what we want. Like, I'll tell you what, this is my second interview I've done. Bruce Burke answered the question.
Well, I mean, listen, certainly we have, Cooper has been a star for us. I mean, I think, we haven't talked about Cooper yet in this interview. I mean, what he's done as a freshman, I mean, he's probably, the highest ranked freshman in the country, what he's been able to do. He's won 3 all matches for us this year, an unbelievable match against Louisville. He's probably played at the biggest stages. He's done an unbelievable job. And so, as a coach, you go to your stars. Henry von der Schulenburg has been a rock for us. He's been incredible. He's been a longtime leader. You go to your big guns. But as I said, we've had pretty much everybody in that role. Melchior clinched against UCLA, Valdemar clinched against Columbia. We've had a lot of different people. Rohan has clinched twice. He last match on against Princeton for a share of the Ivy title, and third set, he played unbelievable. So we have a lot of people that could play those roles, and I don't know, that's how I'm going to answer it.
I'm going to assign it, as you said, Cooper first, so that's okay. Going to be the designated choice.
All right,
on my behalf for you.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, my last 5 questions for you here, all tournament related. A non Harvard-centric team, player, coach, whatever it may be, from across the country that has impressed you this year?
Well, a player or coach?
It could be any of the above, whatever stands out most, or all.
Well, I mean, we always give a shout. I mean, I'm a big fan of Devin Bowen at TCU, sort of associate head coach and, sort of guru and just an unbelievable, insightful coach. Obviously they've had some injuries they've been dealing with, but he does an unbelievable job. I always like picking his brain and seeing how he looks at things. Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of unbelievable performances this year. I mean, certainly looking at Andres at UVA and making a run for his third, you know, it's hard to not be impressed. And how he does it, I think all the college coaches appreciate someone that's really classy and does it the right way. I think that's been great for us to see that, you know, you can win at the highest levels with that approach. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of my colleagues that it is very impressive. I mean, yeah. You know, looking at Ryan Keckley at San Diego, how unbelievable they have done. You know, they had a crazy good season. So, you know, I could go down the list. There's been a lot of people that have been impressing me and, you know, making noise around the country.
Absolutely. The only people in Rio rooting harder for João Fonseca than the Brazilians themselves was every college coach in the country who was just like, come on, get another W. Like, we don't need to see you next year. Favorite Sweet 16 matchup coming up this weekend that isn't your own?
You know, I am kind of like, I have seen the draw, so I'm not that, but I have not spent a lot of time looking at it. I heard Martina Navratilova once said when I was a junior player, like, what's the point of looking at the draw? It only, you know, can be a distraction because you only have to know who you're playing next. And I am not the person that spends a lot of time. I do like listening to you, but I don't spend a lot of time studying other matchups and seeing what's going on. I mean, there's going to be a lot of good tennis out there. I'm not as – so I don't know. Let's see the draw.
Do you want
them
off the top of my head? So you have Ohio State taking on Mississippi State. So in your head, by the way, I can see in your face that's a no. Arizona, Columbia. I love that.
That'd
one.
Be great. Great match. Close.
Yeah, you guys versus Kentucky. Love that one. TCU versus Duke. I think that's a sneaky fun match in Fort Worth. You also have Texas, Texas A&M, Florida State, Tennessee, Wake Forest, Stanford, and Virginia, South Carolina.
I mean, the last couple there are unbelievable matchups. Yeah. I mean, South Carolina's on a heater. They're getting it going. You know, geez, the Stanford against Wake Forest, you know, that's going to be a close one. Yeah, like you said, the Duke matchup. I mean, those all sound – I mean, I think all the matchups sound exciting. Yeah. So I don't have
That's
one
fair.
That I'm particularly following, but I mean, yeah, I mean, which is great for college tennis. I mean, that's, we've talked about this over and over again, the depth in college tennis and what we've been able to do, you know, and how close it is, right? And, you know, you don't have a good day, you lose. It really is that simple. And parity is a sign of a healthy, you know, sort of competitive ecosystem. You know, why do people like the NFL? Like, you, from 1 to 2 years, you can flip a program, you can be in the playoffs, you're out of the playoffs. It is very competitive like that. And, you know, it makes for, you know, exciting tournaments.
Yeah. All right. I couldn't agree more. In that spirit, is there a national championship favorite as we approach the round of 16?
I would trust what you would say, but I mean, I'm not watching, sure, you know, the top few seeds that often. I mean, I you know, so I'm not as clued in as maybe some other people are.
All I can ask for is the honesty. Well, then my last two questions for you. One, trivia, because I'm trying to teach the college tennis universe this fact as we approach the NCAA tournament. I think it's really cool. Oklahoma State, 29-0, undefeated on the women's side. Coach Andrew Roop, can you name the last undefeated NCAA Division I men's and women's champions?
The undefeated men's, like the team champion?
The last team champion on the men's and women's side to go undefeated. My hint for programs.
I'm not a trivia guy, so this was going to be, I mean, I don't know, was Stanford the last team that goes undefeated on the men?
So the last women's team was Stanford. They did it in 2006. Last men's team, somewhat close to home, though he wasn't a member of it, although he came close. 2011, Virginia undefeated, loses in the final. 2013,
right, I do know that one.
Yeah, 2013, Virginia undefeated national champions. Jenkins, a match away from the Triple Crown, loses to Blazrola in the NCAA singles final. And so, again, I think it's important. Like, it's cool to have an undefeated team entering NCAAs, right? Like, that's, you talk about the parity, and I couldn't agree with you more. But then within that parity, you also have this undefeated team that fought off four team match points against UCLA, fought off a 7-5 four love deficit to flip a 4-3 match at indoors. Like, it's been a really fun year is the message I'm trying to reinforce.
No, that's true. And, if I had to guess again, you're right. The last 20 years, it's UVA and USC. And, those are usually good guesses. So, yep. Should have thought of that.
2012 USC, I believe, lost to UCLA, if my memory – I don't believe. I know it. I don't know why I need to fake it. It was a weird match. Stevie wants to give me a very fun interview about that. Anyways, my last question for you, NCAA round of 16 matchup. You guys are taking on a Kentucky team. I want to give you my two cents on the match, and I'm just curious if you think I'm on to something or not. So when I look at this matchup, obviously, again – I think Kentucky's strengths are 5-6. The records speak to it. Clinches another match last weekend against Illinois. Stevenson's lost once all season long. They're really good at 5-6. But I feel like 1, 2, 3, 4, Cooper and Henry and Daniel and Ronan, like, they can all feel pretty good that they can go attack at the top of the singles lineup. And look, doubles is also always a toss-up, so flip a coin. That's how it's going to go. I feel like you guys got a real shot this weekend. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, we certainly feel that way. And and I really like that we've played Kentucky. We've been there. We've already seen it this year. I think that, we felt like, hey, we didn't play our best match. You're eager for another shot at it. I mean, they obviously, they've been one undefeated in the SEC. They won the SEC title, and in the tournament, they've got a great team and it's a great chance. I've known Cedric a long time, excited to play those guys there, but it's also a chance for our team to shine. I mean, I think that, the noise, what Cooper Williams has done this year, I mean, it certainly should be one of the big storylines in college tennis. I mean, coming out, as a freshman and having the year that he's had, making the statements that he's had, it's very tough to do. And, he certainly has made a mark, in college tennis, seated at the NCAA tournament, automatic All-American. And, that's really hard to do in your first year. It takes some time and he's sort of ramped up so quickly. And that gives us a lot of confidence. As I said before, Henry having that, you are right. Those top couple of guys gives us a lot of confidence. Henry's just been around the block. He's a former All-American. He was a constant top 50 college tennis player. He's an unbelievable competitor. And, I think they both lost last time we played at Kentucky. So, they're excited. But, it's just what a great opportunity. Hopefully it's a packed place and we get to play in front of a lot of people, which makes it exciting. And we know that they're going to bring their best. And this is just, let's do it. And we're excited for it on Saturday at 2 p.m. And hope people are following along and watching. We're just wowed by the support we've had from our community and the tennis community as well. So this is, what you live for.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a matchup we are all looking forward to. Again, Harvard taking on Kentucky in the round of 16 this weekend in Lexington. Coach Rube, always appreciate getting the chance to chat with you. Again, you're a returning champion to this show at this point. And certainly, again, it's becoming a fixture here in May, you and your Harvard men's tennis team. So thank you for taking the time to chat this morning and wishing you. And I'm looking forward, I should say, to Ronan Part 2 coming this weekend to me.
Yes. Nice. I appreciate that, Alex. And thanks for everything you do for college tennis. And what a ride this has been this season. And the visibility and I hope more people are tuning in weekly. To watch these matches and the product is great. And, we're building some momentum here. We're really proud of that and hoping, everybody's tuning in, at Oklahoma State, because we want to see some amazing numbers. We really want, college tennis to get that national visibility that I think it deserves. I mean, the product is phenomenal, and I think you've really helped solve how to produce a match, with the video, which has been a challenge in the past. And how do you swing between courts and things? And you guys at Crack Rackets have done a great job of that. So, we appreciate that. And let's keep it rolling.
I appreciate you saying that. This sounds morbid, but it's just very timely. I texted my younger brother and cousin in a college tennis group chat we had yesterday. On my tombstone, they'll say, "Fix the college tennis broadcast." Like, created the triple box. And I was like, that's what they'll be knowing me for. And I'm okay with that. So I appreciate you saying that sincerely. And appreciate you taking the time to chat with that, Coach.
Oh, thanks, Alex. Take care. We'll see you in Stillwater.